Everybody, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Today, we're going to continue on a series of sermons that we've been doing for Christmas called Wonder. Last week, we started with the wonder of hope and talking about what it means to have hope in our lives. Today is the second day of Advent, which we light the second candle, which is the peace candle. Not peace out, but peace. And so we're going to talk about peace today and what that means. Too frequently at Christmas time, we find out that peace is something hard to come by in families. There's a lot of families that during the holiday seasons, let's just say that it's not a peaceful moment in time. In some homes, you'll find that bitterness and anger has crept up into the family relationship. Some homes, we find that it's a split home and mom and dad are no longer together. Sometimes we find that family members are no longer with us, that we're with us the last holiday season. No matter how we look at this, peace is something that is sometimes very hard to come by at this time of the year. But peace isn't just hard to come by at this time of the year. It's hard to come by at all times of the year if we're honest with each other. And it's not just in families. It's in relationships. It's in just times of friendships and times of families and times of working and co-working and your co-workers and all this. Peace is just a hard thing to find. And it seems, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but it seems to me that the older I get, the less peaceful this world has become. And I used to think that I'm just getting old, right? Which is partly true. But I also realize that peace is not just about age. The world we live in around us, if you look around us, I mean, especially coming off of the political time frame that we have just come away from, we knew that leaving up this year would be something that would be very difficult, and it has been a difficult, unpeaceful year. Yet we know that Jesus, as we read last week in Isaiah 9, is called the Prince of Peace. And we also know that everywhere he goes, he's known as this peaceful rabbi, the peaceful teacher who came and shared the message of peace with people around him. We also know that in our homes and in our families that we're going to be, again, it's going to be difficult, if not somewhat dysfunctional. We used to say a passion, and I tried to get away from this, but we used to say a passion, we put the fun in dysfunctional. I think Jay actually coined that term. So, but let's be honest, every family is a little dysfunctional, right? We're a lot. But it shouldn't surprise us, I was thinking about this last night. The Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, thanks God. I could have slept a little bit longer, but that's all right. And so I was having this conversation, and I'm praying, and I'm thinking about this. He started taking me through the book of Genesis. Do you realize the book of Genesis is the most dysfunctional family ever in the whole entire world? I mean, think about it for a moment. Let's be honest. Think about this just for a moment. We have two brothers that fight. One kills the other brother, right? We have a husband who tells his wife to pretend that she's a sister so that he doesn't get in trouble. Or that she's a sister, not that he's a sister. That would be even weirder. By the way, that act was imitated by his son just years later. We also have one of those sons scheming to deceive his father and cheats the other son out of his blessing. Naturally, the cheated son wants to kill his thieving brother to avoid being murdered. I mean, we can go on and on and on. This is just the first book of Genesis. And so when we look at this, we can understand that dysfunctional families have been around since the beginning of the world. Since sin entered into the world, dysfunctional families have come around. And so when we look at this word peace and we understand that Jesus is the Prince of Peace and we understand all of these things, we have to understand that sin causes our peace to not be here. Right? It causes us to have to search for that. Naturally, the way that God set it up was for us to be in a peaceful relationship with Him where everything was beautiful and everything was wonderful. And of course, Satan ruined all of that by getting Adam and Eve to eat of the fruit of the tree, causing sin to enter into the world. And then we find over and over and over again this dysfunctional family, this dysfunctional ideas, all of this peace being lost. And we find that peace is no longer something easy to receive. As a child, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and that's my mom and dad. My dad did not go to church, but we went to this church, and the only thing I ever remember about this church was that at some point in the middle of the service, rephrase that, but one of the things that sticks with me is that in the middle of the service, all of a sudden the priest would stop me and go, "Turn and tell each other, peace be with you." And so you would have this moment of time, just out in the middle of out in this middle of the service where we would turn and we'd just go, "Peace be with you." And I'm wondering, what is that all about? And as a child, I'm like, okay, peace be with you, peace be with you. It's my job to go around to every single person in the church and say, "Peace be with you," because that's what you did as a child. Right? You just didn't get the few people around you. You wanted everybody. It was a game. But I really didn't understand at that time what that meant. I wonder if we understand today what this idea of peace being with us really means. See, Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. And when Jesus came down to this earth, not only did He bring and become our Savior, but He also brought down a mantle of peace that falls upon us and His robe as we are followers of Him. But we must learn to understand what it means to be a child of peace under the Prince of Peace. Before we go any further, let's pause and pray, and we'll jump into Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this glorious season. Even as we were during worship reflecting on and just singing your worship songs, I was thinking of the Advent candles and looking at it with expectation of your birth. And what it means to all of us, Lord. Particularly today, Father, we speak about peace and we want to talk about that and learn what it means to be at peace with the world around us because we have you. And so, Lord, we ask you today that you would guide us and strengthen us, that you would protect us and give us wisdom. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, Father. And as we tackle this idea of peace, may we learn to be peaceful in you, Father. May you be the glory, the honor, and the praise because you deserve that and so much more. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 8. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Or as the heathen say, they were sorely afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I just want to ask you a question. I don't think the shepherds had too much peace seeing a host of angels coming down singing this song. In fact, I got to imagine the shepherds are shaking in their boots. They may even have to run home and change some garments. Let's just put it that way. Because the truth of the matter is that if a host of angels appears before you, that's going to be a scary thing. And the shepherds are sitting there in the field. What are they doing? They're just doing their job. They're doing what they were called to do. They are shepherds. So they are in the field doing the job that God had called them to do. And God chooses them to be the first birth announcement of Jesus. What a birth announcement, man. Hey, you know, just a couple weeks ago, my wife and I received a birth announcement in the mail. You know, a little postcard with a baby's picture on it and stuff like that. It was really cute. Nothing compared to what Jesus' birth announcement with the angels would be. It was cute, don't get me wrong, but it would have nothing compared to what Jesus' birth announcement by the angels to the shepherds would have been. But overarching what the angels say to the shepherds as they're beginning to leave, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We have to understand that peace is more than the lack of wars or strife. It is a deep and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When we look at peace today, many times people will look at peace and they'll say, what is peace? Peace means that there's no wars, right? It's a time of peace. It's in between wars. There's nothing going on. It's peace. This is peace. Sometimes we take that to a personal level and say, peace is when we have no strife. We have nothing going on. Everything is good. The truth of the matter is that we live in a world that is not peaceful, and we live in a time that is not peaceful, and so therefore, real peace cannot be found in any of those circumstances. You cannot find peace in the circumstances of your life, because eventually it will change. If things are going good right now, hallelujah, thank God, receive it and take it and run with it. Because at some point, something's going to happen, right? The proverbial shoe is going to drop. And what happens then? If your peace is dependent on circumstances, then the peace that you have today because things are going well is going to be fleeting when times are bad. It's important for us to understand that our peace should not be based on our circumstances. Peace should not be based on us at all. If it's based on us, then we are failed creatures. Listen, it's one thing I can just read through again, Genesis, getting back to the dysfunctional family in Genesis, right? You are failed people. Over and over and over again. Doesn't matter, even we are going to fail. It's just how we are. But there is one that never fails. There's one who is always with us. There's one who is there with us and with you even today. And that name is Jesus. You know, have you ever, Christy's not here today, but I wish she was, because you know, I was thinking about this. The shepherds are out in the field doing their work, right? You know, sheep are messy. And quite honestly, sheep are not the most brightest of animals, too. You ever seen a sheep or raised a, I don't know how many of you have actually raised a sheep. I know there's a few in here that have. But if you have, they're very messy, they're very stinky, and they're very not so smart. They will, on their best days, not understand a danger that's right before them. You know why they have sheep dogs? Because sheep don't have the capability of, they have a hard time, I should say, of taking in fear, of understanding fear that's coming at them. And so sheep dog and dogs that are there with them help them understand, protect them, first of all, but also help them know the fear that's around them. They're stubborn, they're skittish. There are all these things. Now, here's the problem with this. More often than not, you know what Jesus calls us? Sheep. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. And so what does that mean? Does Jesus really think that I'm messy, I'm stinky, and I'm not very smart? Okay, Lord, I get the message, right? All right. But the truth of the matter is there's a reason why he does this, because the sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. They need someone to teach it. They need someone to guide it. They need someone to craft it around and make sure that it's safe. And if without a shepherd, sheep will most likely die. They will either, they have been known to actually run off cliffs. They have been known to be eaten by bears or tigers and lions and bears and lions, right? They've been known to be just not, again, not very bright is the best way to say it. But the reason why Jesus uses this over and over and over again is because we need a shepherd like the sheep need a shepherd. We need a shepherd, and he came as the Prince of Peace to teach his sheep how to be peaceful. And so when we look at this, and the angels are crying out, glory to God in the highest on the earth, peace, goodwill toward men, the shepherds themselves have become sheep. Do you understand it? The shepherds who are out watching their sheep hear the angels, they come down, they speak this, or they sing this beautiful lullaby, this beautiful birth announcement. They themselves are now the sheep going to look for their shepherd. Jesus brings peace to our lives in the midst of chaos and struggle. Again, we have to understand what I said last week is that this message, Jesus comes 600 some odd years after Isaiah gives the message about him being the Prince of Peace. The shepherds who are out in the field, would they have known about the prophecy of Isaiah? Yes, they probably would have heard about that prophecy of Isaiah. Would they have been actively seeking for it? No, they would not have been. They were busy doing their job, which was watching the sheep. And so when they show up, they're not looking for Jesus, but Jesus finds them. The angels find them. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of all of these problems, in the midst of everything that's going on, here is Jesus. Now, why is there chaos going on during this time? You have to understand that the reason why Mary and Joseph are in Bethlehem at all to begin with is why? A census, right? A census, when people come to the city, they come to the place where they are born to register, there is a lot of chaos that happens during that time. Now, let's just for a moment. If you take your whole entire family, you bring them in, and you put them into one place, how fun is that going to be? Add to it, you have all this, not only do you have your family, but every neighbor around you has their whole entire family with you, and you have relatives that you have not seen for years, you have people that are coming. It's not a peaceful place. And so the shepherds are going, I'm going to go out to the field and watch the sheep, because this is where I need to be, right? All right, let's be truthful, man. We're a lot of shepherds because we go out to the garage to get away from the family drama, right? Let's excuse ourselves. Let's go outside. Let's spend a little time outside doing this. We need to escape a little bit. Truth of the matter is that this was not a peaceful time. And we must learn to understand that. Isaiah 9, verse 6, which I already said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace, does that not make us heirs to that Prince? Heirs to that peace? Right? If Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace, which he is, he's called in Isaiah 9:6, that makes us the heir of that peace because we are his followers. We are the ones that come up underneath him. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. He is in the most, the greatest form that you could ever think of. He is the discipler. We are his disciples. Receiving from him what he has given to us. And so that, therefore, means that we have the opportunity to have the same peace that Jesus had. Now, I want to be very clear at this moment. Peace and pacifism. How easy for me to say. Pacifism. Is that how you say it? Being a pacifist. We'll go with that because I can say that. Peace and being a pacifist are two different things, right? Just because you're at peace and because Jesus gives you peace doesn't mean that you have to go around and let people slap you on this cheek. Turn this cheek, let him slap on that cheek. Never mind, we won't go there. But you understand what I'm saying. It doesn't mean peace, God's peace. Listen, Jesus is known as the greatest and most peaceful person ever. He's known as the Prince of Peace. Yet even at that time, he goes into the temple, and right before he dies on the cross, he goes into the temple. What does he do? He tosses tables. He turns them upside down. And he says the most amazing words ever. Be angry, but sin not. Jesus was peaceful, yet he also knew when to hold his ground. The problem with this is that if you think about this for a moment, us holding our ground is not the issue. In this world, why is it that most Christians are the least peaceful people we know? Let's be honest. Let's self-reflect a little bit on ourselves here for a moment, and let's look at it. Churches are not always the most peaceful place that you find. Why? Oh, she sat in my pew. That's my pew. That's where I sit. Why are you sitting there? Oh, she's wearing the same shirt that I'm wearing. Oh, my goodness. This person can't sing, and I got to sit over here because I can't stand next to them because I can't sing. And when they sing, it drives me nuts. I don't like the color of the carpet, so therefore I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave. I don't like this. I don't like that. I mean, churches in general, are the least peaceful place that you can find. Why is that? That's ludicrous. If we are following the Prince of Peace, we should be the most peaceful people that you ever meet. If we are following Jesus and we are doing what he says, then peace should be the hallmark of our relationship with him and our hallmark of our relationship with others. But too often it's not. You ever wondered how Jesus could sleep in the middle of a storm? That's called peace. The simple story of the disciples all freaked out while Jesus is sitting there sleeping is a wonderful story of how he gets peace and his disciples didn't. In the midst of the storm is going crazy. They're feeling like they're going to die, and they're looking over, and this dude's sleeping. What's going on? How can you sleep in the middle of the storm? He added, Jesus had peace in everything. And there's a couple things that I learned. Is that one, you can have peace in the middle of the storm. Number two, I learned absolutely. Right?
Yes, sir.
I remember many, many years ago when I was a young child, my sister decided that she was going to back the car out of the garage. She was 14, I think. And she's like, Jason, get the keys. I'm going to back the car out for mom. I'm like, that's not a good idea. Yeah, let's do it. That'll be great. It's not a good idea. Do it. Okay, I'll grab the keys. You do it. I'll stand here and watch. I was smart enough, about 12 years old, to know that I shouldn't be part of that. My sister jumped in the car. She hit the gas, turned sideways, and took it. We had a two-car garage. She took out the middle wall of the garage. I'll never forget the look on my mother's face when she comes out. And what did I say? I said what Adam said to God. I said what other people said. Wasn't me. It was that woman you gave me. No, it was that my sister that you made me stick with. And then my mother whispered the words that no child wants to hear. Wait until your father gets home. What did I do? I ran upstairs to my bedroom, shut the door, and took a nap. That's what I did. Now, my sister, not so much. She's out there trying to clean up, and she's trying to take the bricks that were off the middle and trying to place them there. And I'll never forget, my father came home, and my father goes, he looks at it, and I heard him go, oh! He just screamed. He didn't say a word. And then my mother goes, the very first words that he said out of his mouth was this Jason? Upstairs in my room going, how's that fair? Wait a minute. I have nothing to do with this. And then all of a sudden, because my mother goes, no, it was Tiffany. She's the one that did it. I heard my dad go, okay. And then all of a sudden, this calm came over him, and a peace like I had never seen come over this man came over him. And he started to have a conversation with her, and I'm like, where is this when I do something wrong? peace comes at some really important times. Stick with me for a moment, though. I want to talk about this. Jesus, when he was taking a nap on the boat, it wasn't that he wasn't concerned about the storm. You ever seen that? When Jesus is taking the nap, he has the ability, and he does. He wakes up from the nap, and what does he do? He calms the storm, right? But he has the moment, he has this opportunity to do this. It wasn't that he wasn't concerned about the storm, because guess what? He's human nature. He's fully human. And so Jesus understands that if he's tossed from his boat into the water, guess what happens? Like any other human that's in just as much water, he could drown. Now, he's Jesus, of course. And so he wouldn't have ingested too much water. He would have walked on the water. But he knew his job and his purpose. Jesus knew his job and his purpose. And so, therefore, the faith that he had was what kept him calm during the peace of the storm that caused the disciples. The disciples did not yet know the faith that they had inside of them. And so they did not know that Jesus could calm the storm. And so they're concerned about dying. They're looking at the end results of where this storm is going to take them instead of how to get through every single step of the storm and be at peace. Now, if you stick with me for a moment, I want you to understand that the storm that Jesus is calming is the same storm that you and all of us have in our lives at some point. We have storms that are raging inside of us, whether it's bills, whether it's relationships, whether it's kids, whether it's issues, whatever those storms are that are raging inside of you, there's a storm going on there. And it's hard to find that peace when we're looking at the end results of that storm inside of our life instead of who's right beside us in the middle of the storm. If we would focus on who's with us instead of the storm, then we can receive the peace that Jesus has as the Prince of Peace that he brings to you and I. In the midst of your strife, in the midst of your issues, you too can have peace. You too can take naps. Amen?
Yeah.
That's Sunday after church. Where's everyone going for taking nap? Pastor said it was okay. Listen, the truth of the matter is that when we worry and we fret and we concern ourselves with the storm that's inside of our life, we are taking our focus off of him and we're placing it on something that we have nothing, that has no right receiving our attention, our glory, our praise, our attention. When we give our attention, when we give all of our energy to the storm that's raging around us, we are taking them off of him and we're placing them on the storm. Many years ago, I was working in Little Tykes Toy Company. I don't know if anyone knows that company. I'm sure you do. But I'm working in that company, and it was a banner day. It was a royal day, Corey. Let me tell you. Okay, Corey and I talked about that. We had a lot of conversation about this place and work, but it was a royal. I was having just one of those days. I actually showed up to work because there was a fire in my company that I showed up. You reminded me of this when you and I were talking. But there was a fire in the warehouse that when I showed up to work, I hit. And as I walked into the work, as I walked into the company, I'm like, ooh, that's not going to be good, right? And everyone's freaking out. Everyone's running around. Ah, there's a fire. So then I get to my desk, and my vice president comes to me and he goes, Jason, listen, I just want to tell you that there's going to be some layoffs today. I'm like, oh, that's a perfect day, right? We had a fire, and now we're going to lay people off. This is great. This is a banner day. Woo! And so he begins to call people into his office, one by one, telling them that they no longer have a job. Later on that afternoon, we also found that our company was being sold. Trifecta, right? All three. I'll never forget one of my coworkers, one of the ladies that worked with me, she comes by my office and I'm sitting there and I literally said, listen, it's lunchtime, I'm gonna go eat my lunch in my car and I'm gonna take a nap. And she's like, what? So I'm gonna take a nap. She goes, how can you take a nap when all of this is going on? And I'm like, how can you not? This is the best time to do it. I realized at that time that the storm that's going on around us on the job was causing a lot of people to lose their focus. So after I had a nice little nap during lunchtime, I walked into the office. I said, listen, you can be on edge, you can be nervous, you can be all of these things, but ultimately none of that matters because your eyes should be focused on this job. My job, my life is not defined by this job. My faith in Jesus is what defines me. And whether it's a job and a problem like that, or it's a family issue, understand that those issues, those problems, do not define who you are. Jesus defines who you are. And so in the middle of the storm, all we have to do is not allow that situation, that strife, that issue to steal our peace. It's a beautiful picture when you can take a step back and wonder at the beautiful picture of peace. Romans chapter 12, 14 through 18. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceable with all men. You know, Paul gives us a beautiful picture of how we can be at peace, how we can wonder. See, this whole title of this sermon series we call Wonder, we're wondering at hope. Last week, this day, we're wondering about peace. And not wondering as in, like, is it going to happen, but wondering, like, wow. Paul gives us a beautiful picture of exactly how we can do that. Number one, he tells us that we need to be a blessing and not a warrior. Right? Listen, the easy thing to do in life is to be a warrior about everything. I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that, I'm worried about all of these things. We can do all of those things. We can be worried about all of those things, but Paul tells us not to be worried about those things. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, be of the same mind toward one another. He's telling you not to worry about these things. Don't worry about being persecuted, easy for Paul to say, right? Well, yeah, it's not easy for Paul to say because he gave his life for his faith. But Paul tells us, he's encouraging you and I, be a blessing to someone. Be a blessing to people. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. The easiest thing to do is when someone curses you, what's the easiest thing to do? Curse them back. Someone tell you to go get lost? Guess what? I can tell you to go get lost too. You know what's much harder to do? Someone tells you to get lost. Bless God. No, that's not the type of blessing that I'm talking about. Right? I'm talking about a true heartfelt blessing that comes from the heart where you're looking and you're asking God to bless that person more than he has blessed you. And that's when we know when we're really walking in the grace of God. Because when we can pray for someone who doesn't deserve to be prayed for, and we can ask them to receive the blessing. When you can pray and ask God to bless someone who's persecuting you, you know you're on the right path. Be a blessing, not a warrior. Paul goes on to tell us, find the common ground. You know, just last, before this series of sermons, we did this togetherness on unity and talk about unity of the body of Christ. But really, in order to find peace in relationships, it's find a common ground. If you're not at peace with someone, meaning someone has affected you and you're hurt inside, what that means is that you at one point had some type of common ground with that person and they did something to disrupt that common ground. Otherwise, if a complete stranger comes up and says, I don't like you, Jason, I'd be like, okay, I don't know you. Pastor Chaz comes up and tells me, I don't like you. It's going to hurt a little bit deeper because I have a relationship with him. And so when we understand this, when we understand that Satan wants to steal your peace by causing division, then we should understand that being in unity causes peace to come. And so when we rely on finding the common ground between each other, then we can be at peace. To live like-minded with each other. Peace comes when we find what brings us together instead of apart. Well, that doesn't mean that you listen, you don't forget that someone slapped you, right? If someone comes in, if Jay comes in and slaps me, I'm not going to forget that. So. The next time he comes up to me and he raises me, and I'm probably going to go, I'm going to lean back, right? Jay won't do that, but I'm just using this as an example. But that, in that midst of those troubles, if I could truly, honestly pray for him in that strife and those issues and try to find a common ground. When we walk into situations, we need to learn to be the thermostat and not the thermometer. You understand what I just said? A thermostat, what? Sets the temperature of the room. A thermometer just judges it. You stick a thermometer in hot water, what's it? It's only going to show you the temperature that hot water actually is. It responds to the temperature of everyone around you. We as followers of Christ are called to set the temperature by being the peaceful people that God calls us to be, by being the Prince of, by following the Prince of Peace. We are to walk into situations, and people around us should feel peace because we are there. If you walk into a situation, everyone's like, oh, here they come. You better take a step back and think about what you are doing in that situation. Peace should be what follows us everywhere we go. Be humble, Paul says. When you set yourself up on a pedestal, someone is bound to come and knock you off. Let's be honest. When you decide that, look how great I am, guess what? Someone's going to find a flaw and hurt you. Someone's going to find a problem and they're going to try to knock you off that pedestal. That's what happens. But Paul tells us to be humble, to not think of ourselves highly. Jesus tells us not to think of, ourselves less and more of us. He calls us to be not, he calls us the first shall be last and the last shall be first. You want to be blessed? Go to the back of the line. You want to be a servant of God? Then be a servant of people. You want to be a leader in God's army? Then start serving people. Because that's what Jesus tells us to do. Jesus tells us to serve, to be secondary, not to think of ourselves first. You know, the Proverbs tells us that there are seven things that God hates. You know what the first one is? Pride. Biblical peace is only possible if you're not thinking about yourself, meaning you're humble and not proudful. Biblical peace, peace that comes, peace that surpasses our own understanding is what Scripture tells us. But that peace is only possible if we stop thinking of ourselves and start thinking of others. When we're thinking of ourselves, peace is not going to happen. Why? Because we're building our empire, if you will. We're building our life upon something that is fragile. When we build our life upon Jesus, that means Jesus calls us to think of other people, then we build it on a firm foundation that's not going to crumble, it's not going to fall when the waves and wind come crashing on it. Listen, I like recognition as much as anyone else does. But if you're only focused on the recognition of this world, it means that you become prideful and you're going to miss out on the recognition of Jesus that comes next. We're not supposed to be focused with listen, if someone wants to recognize me, great, thank you, right? But the truth of the matter is, what's important to me is him recognizing me, not any of you or not anyone else. As long as Jesus recognizes who I am, then I know I'm in a good place. You know why? Because listen, even if I'm lucky and I live 80, 90, 100 years on this earth, it pales in comparison to the eternity that I'm going to be in heaven. And so my energy and effort is being up and set up there for him to recognize me, and not them here. Finally, Paul says, I love this verse of Paul, the way that Paul wraps this up. As much as depends on you, be peaceable with others. As much as depends upon you. What does that mean? Well, that means that when we go into a situation and we're having an argument with someone, or we're having a discussion with someone, let's put it that way, sometimes it's going to be hard to be at peace with that person. They're not going to, some people are just, listen, as much as I love people, people are not always peaceable. They're just not. And so what does Paul say? Paul says, as much as depends upon you. Your peace shouldn't depend on whether that other person gives it back to you. You understand that? Your peace doesn't depend on what if it's returned. Your peace depends on Him. And so therefore, as much as depends upon you, be peaceful. Be peaceful. Be at peace with everyone around you. As much as it depends upon you, you do those things. Sometimes living in peace is as one-sided as it ever comes. Some people are just going to choose to not be peaceful. It doesn't matter what you do. You'll never be able. There are some people that just choose to be at odds. Drama finds them wherever they go. I'm sure we all know someone like that. And no, husbands, do not look at your wives at this point. Point fingers, because if you do, you're going to be in lots of trouble. But just because peace is not returned to you does not mean that you can't have peace in the situation. You can be at complete peace with a situation that you're going through, even if the other person never offers you peace back. That's a hard thing to grasp a hold of, because we're looking for that recognition. We're looking for that return. R-E-S-P-C-T, right? I'm not going to finish singing that song, but literally it's she wants respect because she's giving respect. And so she wants it back and forth. I want joy because I can love you if you love me. No, that's not the way it goes. The way that it goes is that we are called to be the men and women of peace, but following the Prince of Peace, and regardless of whether that other person ever gives it back to you, you can be at peace with the situation. You know how we be at peace with the situation where someone doesn't return that peace? Is understand that that situation has nothing to do with your eternity, Jesus Christ says. And so even if that person doesn't listen to you, listen, it drives me nuts when someone says, can I talk to you, Pastor? Yes. I like talking to people. That's not what drives me nuts. What drives me nuts is when I have a conversation with someone and we begin to work out the details of their life, and what we come to this idea, this God-given wonderful blessing of an idea of how to handle the situation, they go and do something completely different. And then they come back and go, why am I not at peace? Well, maybe if you listened during the conversation that we just had and you did this. The truth of the matter is that I can be at peace with that situation. Why? Because, first of all, it's not me, but no. I can be at peace with that situation. Oh, I'm going to be truthful now. That's one thing I'll always be with you. Be truthful, right? No, but I can be at peace with that situation because I did what God asked me to do. I can walk away from that situation. I can feel empathy towards that person. I can encourage them to continue finding God in that situation. But at the end of the day, guess what? You're all grown adults. You choose. Had a conversation this past week with a dear friend who they have a loved one, a child who's not following the Lord. And no, it's not you, Chad. Don't get any mind. It's nothing to do with the conversation. But I had a conversation with this person, and as I was talking to this person, we were talking about how, you know, I really want my child to come to know the Lord, and we're having this conversation, we're praying, and we're just talking, and we're having a great conversation. At the end of the day, I said, listen, you're not responsible for their faith. You have raised them. If you raise up a child, as we talked about, raise up a child in the way that they should go, right? If you've done your job of raising up to the point, once your child gets to a certain age, guess what? It's their issue. You can pray for them. You can speak life into them. You can do any of those things. But you have to find peace in the situation, because otherwise, it will drive you absolutely nuts worrying about your loved one, your child, that isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Peace is not dependent. Our peace is not dependent on whether that person responds or not. Our peace is doing what God asked us to do and living it out here on this earth. When peace is not returned to you, live in peace anyways. Do not let that person take your peace from you. Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace, and so therefore we as Christians should walk in that Prince. We should walk in that peace as well, being heirs to that peace. We should walk in those things, be full of peace, to understand where we're going and how we're supposed to get there. We need the peace of Jesus to be in our life. But when we allow someone else to steal our peace, then what we are doing is we're saying that person is more powerful than Jesus in our lives. And I don't know about you, I love you all, but there's no one in this room and no one in this world that is powerful as Jesus Christ is to me.
Amen.
And so when I lose my focus and I allow that peace to be stolen from me, what I need to do is take a step back and say, he's my peace, you are not. And I didn't just point to Ariel or Jed. I'm not speaking of it. I'm just pointing over there, right? The truth of the matter is that our peace comes from him. And as long as we are secure in that, we should not let anyone steal that from us. We may fret. We may worry. People will definitely make us angry. But biblical peace is something that we need to strive for. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Jesus, as our example, shows us that even during the biggest issues of life, we can have peace. I don't know about you, but whether it's the reed hitting our back, as Jay was talking about earlier, or the very fact of your hands being nailed into the cross or your feet, I would have been screaming like a baby if I was Jesus. Scripture shows us nothing about that. In fact, he was at such peace. I'm sure it was painful, don't get me wrong. The pain and suffering that he went through on that cross was just amazing. More than what any of us on this earth can even begin to grasp hold of. But what did he do? He had the senses enough to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't screaming. The only time we even hear of a raised voice is when he cries out to his Father and says, it is finished. Jesus shows us what it means to be at true biblical peace. The reason why Jesus could be at true biblical peace, why he could be the way that he was supposed to be, was A, he is God, yes, is the Prince of Peace. But he understood what he had to do. See, when we focus on our issues, when we focus on us, it takes away from the focus being on him and what he's asking us to do. You know, you're called to love your family members, the people that you're joining with over the coming weeks for the holidays. You're called to love them, even if they're not the most peaceful people that you've ever met. You're still called to love them. Your job is not to get worked up with what they're going to say or what they're going to do. Your job is to stay focused on Jesus, being that representation to them. We see him in peace. The birth of Jesus Christ came by the angels singing and crying out, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The birth of Jesus makes peace on this earth possible. As we focus on him, may we learn to wonder in the beauty of peace. May we be the examples of peace in this world. Because the world needs it. Listen, we need it. Let's be honest. We need to take a moment just to look up and say, Lord, you are such a wonderful God. Let your peace reign inside of me. Peace is not a temporary feeling, but it's a gift from God that can be actively lived out through our life. Through following him, through acts of love, forgiveness, and reconciliation with people around us. And even in the midst of a troubled time, a troubled world that's around us, being humble and seeking the blessing. Or seeking a blessing for our brothers and sisters is the way that we can walk forward in peace. Most of all, it's finding peace in Jesus. Trusting him, even though the situation may not look the worst. Today, I can almost still hear the angels crying out, glory to God in our eyes. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Father, we are not deserving of any of this that you give to us. But you're such a blessing to us, and you bring us peace, you bring us hope, you bring us love, you bring us joy, you bring us all of these things. Not only through the burden, your burden on this earth, but also through our lives and through the salvation and through your sacrifice that you gave on the cross for us. Lord Jesus, we ask you in the midst of our troubles today, in the midst of our strife and issues and all of the world around us that's not at peace today, may we find the peace that surpasses all understanding. May we know that that peace is not in our situations, but it's in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, may you enlighten us the peace that we need to deal with the situations that we have today. May we know how to handle and how to walk in these times that we live. Setting a thermostat instead of being a thermometer. Lord Jesus, let us be your heirs. Let us be your followers. Let us walk in peace today. Forgive us of the times when we have not been that so, Father. Forgive us from the times that we have been anything but peaceful in this world. And let us find what it means to walk in that peace and that understanding. Only you can do that, Father. We know that. It's not us. Only you can do that. It starts with a relationship with you. By confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. That believing in our hearts that what you did on the cross was for us. That you are the Prince of Peace. And that to choose to walk that way. To choose to follow you, to choose not to be angry or in strength or anything, but choosing to walk in peace, choosing to set the tone of conversation, choosing us to be different than the world around us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be the peaceful people, the peaceful followers that you call us to be. Let us walk in the confidence that comes in knowing that peace in our lives today. Help us today, Father, as we do that. Forgive us where we have not. Guide us where we need to be guided so that we can do that. Holy Spirit, come and lead us in these things. Show us the way. Take us by our hand and say, this is when you are not peaceful. This is when you have to be. Convict us when we have not been peaceful and show us how to be peaceful in those situations. Love you, Lord. We glorify you. We wonder at your peace. We're in awe of you and all that you have done. Give me the glory, the honor, and the peace that comes with all things because you deserve that and so much more. Jesus, your precious Lord. Amen. Let's worship together.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Everything around me is shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. Cause he never let me down. He's faithful to generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. I still got joy in chaos. I got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. I turn my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't.
God bless you all. See you again next week. Hope you have a great week.